Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Psyche Teachers Book Club. I'm your host, Samantha Fay.
And I'm Deb Bowen.
And we are so delighted to have you here with us as we start our second discussion, part two of The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We want to remind you that we are the co-host of Psychic Teachers. If you ever want to send us an email or a question about books we're discussing or a comment, if you disagree with an opinion of ours and you just want to share it, that's fine too. You can reach us through our website, psychicteachers.com. We are also on Facebook, Psychic Teachers, all one word. And you can shoot us an email at psychicteachers@gmail.com. We really want this podcast to be like a conversation with you all, like a book club that we're all here gathered around with our cup of tea and our book, and we're just discussing. So we'd like to have your input as much as possible. So psychicteachers@gmail.com.
We also have psychicteachersbookclub@gmail.com.
Oh, we sure do.
let's do that again. Our book club email address is psychicteachersbookclub@gmail.com.
Whoops. It's a Monday morning, folks.
It is Monday morning. And please do consider that. We don't take calls on the show, however.
Right. But we will read and share your emails.
Right, exactly. So good. So there we go. And about at the halfway mark, we'll remind you again of some other ways that you can connect with us and also see what our services are that we offer. So we're happy to do that. But in the meantime, Samantha, let's get talking about The Alchemist. Just to review, last week we talked a little bit about the plot and the intent of the book and a bit about Coelho himself, who is an amazing, fascinating man. But this week we want to focus our discussion on what this book can mean for you, what the intent of reading this book is that might be helpful to you, and a little bit more about that.
Yes, and I think what's important about this book is that one thing that Coelho mentions over and over and over again is that you must find your personal legend.
And there's a great quote in the book that explains what that means, isn't there, Samantha?
Yes, there is. And what when Santiago, who is the main character, and he is a shepherd, and he meets a man who calls himself the King of Salem, and he says that a personal legend is what you have always wanted to accomplish. So a personal legend is more than a dream, like, oh, I'd love to be, you know, a rock star, I'd love to be a famous actress. It's a personal legend. It's something, it's the mark that you want to leave on the universe. It's something that you've always wanted to accomplish, achieve, do. And throughout the book, there are so many different ways that that personal legend is revealed to Santiago. But for readers, I think that readers can take away that we all have our own personal legend. The language of the world will reveal your personal legend to you, says the King of Salem, through omens, mentors, and signs. So I'd love to just talk a moment about what that means. Like, what is an omen? How would you define an omen?
I think of an omen as some event or something that's said to you or that you say to yourself that portends an upcoming event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It can be coincidence. Sometimes omens, you know, are like two things kind of happening at the same time. Omens can sometimes be... I remember there was a time in my life where everything was just spinning and going so fast, and I was just kind of going through the motions. I had three children in 3 years, and I didn't know if I was nursing, changing a diaper, coming or going. And I remember this bird flew super fast past me as I was walking my oldest to preschool and just literally flew into the glass door in front of me. And just, it looked like he had died.
Yeah,
and he just sat on the ground. And I just, my little girl and I just sat there and stared at this little bird for a couple of minutes, and soon he blinked a couple of times and flew away.
Right.
And I knew that was an omen for me, telling me to slow the heck down.
Right, Exactly. And you know, you just used the word coincidence, and I have to say that you and I really don't believe in coincidences. We
right.
really believe that in serendipity, and we certainly believe in synchronicity.
Yes. Because in The Alchemist, it's often remarked to Santiago that when you are following your personal legend, the universe will conspire to help you.
He says that in many ways in the book, and all through the book, that sentence reappears.
Yes. And what I think is really important is sometimes you and I will hear from clients and you know, workshop participants and things, well, things just never go my way. Or, well, I've tried and nothing's happened. And I think the key there is when you decide to take action and follow your personal legend, that's when the universe starts to conspire. But we have to take that first step.
If we don't set intentions, and if we don't say what we intend to happen in our life, then the universe doesn't know, so it can't conspire to help us.
Yes. Something else that's really important in the book, it says a lot, you must always know what it is that you want.
And another thing he says is that you must be in the present, not in the future. And so to know what you want, to be very clear about that, and to treat whatever that is as if it is already happened and is with you in the present is the key.
Yes. I think it is so easy to get caught up in life and to get caught up in responsibilities and expectations and to-do list and forget who we are and forget what we want. I speak to a lot of women and I'll say to them, well, what do you really want? And they'll say, well, I want my kids to be happy.
I want my husband
to stop worrying about his job.
Right.
I want financial security. You know, and then we have to say, well, what do you want for you? And to them, that is a want for themselves.
Right. And you know, I have this technique that I sometimes use when I get into discussions like that with particularly our coaching clients.
Mm-hmm.
We've done this with our folks who are our spiritual coaching clients, is, okay, for 3 minutes, you can't talk about anybody but you.
That is so hard for people.
It is hard, because to say, I want this for my children and I want this for my husband, well, no, what do you want for you? Just talk about you.
Right.
And sometimes that bubbles up a lot of old tapes and old messages that we give ourselves that we aren't deserving, we're not worthy, we're not, whatever. And then that's when the real work can begin to become to live in that legend.
Right. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I don't even know what it is I want, start with small things. You know, wake up every day and say, what do I want to do today? And try to do one thing just for you, even if it's just sitting on the couch and reading a book for an hour, or if it's, you know, ordering out instead of cooking dinner for your family. Something that's just for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or even, do you know, I was listening to NPR this week. They did a little half-hour lunch special on, I think, on Friday about how so few Americans take a lunch break.
Oh, yes.
And how detrimental that is when you don't change, you know, your scenery for at least an hour a day when you're at work.
I did that for years. It was totally unhealthy.
Yeah, it really is. Even if you just get out for a walk or anyway. So try to wake up every day and think, what do I want to do today? And do one thing for yourself. And that will lead you to your personal legend. But sometimes you have to start small, and I think that's okay.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
So Santiago's goal is to find what he believes that his treasure is in Egypt. So that's his goal. And he believes his personal legend is to find this treasure. And it is. Except it's much deeper than that. We don't want to give away the ending of the book. But
no, we don't. But, you know, that seeking of a treasure brings me to two other points that we know we wanted to make in today's program. And one is that notion of pilgrimage, that notion of seeking a treasure in some place that is not familiar to you. And having been on several pilgrimages in my life, I realize how important it is to make the pilgrimage with the knowledge that whatever I may find that I'm think I'm seeking on that pilgrimage is also already within me.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to go anywhere really to find it.
Mm-hmm.
A pilgrimage is different from a vacation. A pilgrimage is traveling with some kind of spiritual intent to a sacred place. And that's part of what Santiago certainly did in his attempt to go to Egypt. There's a beautiful book, and at some point I hope we might even get to this book. It's called The Art of Pilgrimage. And when I have traveled on these pilgrimages, I have reread and reread and reread that book, and to help me remember the intent of what I was doing. And so sometimes we can go on a pilgrimage to someplace far away, the pyramids, Stonehenge, or Sedona or wherever. We have these sacred places, Rome, in our minds, that somehow or another there will be a moment of clarity, a moment of enlightenment, a moment of connection with spirit in those places.
Mm-hmm.
And there often is for us. That is true. But those sacred places also live within us no matter where we are.
Mm-hmm.
As we are talking today, I just had a hawk fly into my backyard, Samantha.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he's sitting up in a tree. And for me, that is a pilgrimage of spirit right here at this very moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have to go anywhere. So pilgrimage is often about being aware, being connected, and being conscious of those signs and omens that we were just talking about.
Yeah, there's a part in the book when the gypsy tells Santiago, it's the simple things in life that are the most extraordinary. Only wise men and women are able to understand them.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I think like just sitting in your kitchen right now and looking at that hawk is a simple moment with extraordinary implications that you're enjoying and appreciating.
And knowing that, and because hawk is one of my spirit animals, knowing that that is a message for me, when hawk appears, I'm always on the right path.
Right.
It's always a confirmation. And so I'm taking that as a confirmation that our creating this podcast was a great plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
literally, sometimes just right here, right now, in this moment.
That's an omen.
Absolutely.
That's a sign. What I like about The Alchemist, too, is that Coelho uses the sheep as a metaphor for those of us who have ignored our personal legend.
Oh, yes.
You know, and he says that the sheep, or Santiago says that the sheep don't even know that they walk new roads every day.
Mm.
And, you know, that I have seen that in my own life, and I know you have, too, so many times with you know, just people that don't appreciate. I mean, like, just this morning, one of my little girls came running into the bathroom when I was getting ready and putting my makeup on, and she said, "You've got to come look outside. The sunrise is so beautiful." And I had this little ego moment of pride that I've taught my girls to appreciate those small things. Do you know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? Like, I mean, we'll drive down to the ocean at, you know, 10 o'clock at night to watch a full moon rise.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think it's really important to point out those things to our children, to ourselves, and to appreciate them, even if it's, you know, if it's things in nature, or if it's, sometimes I love to just sit. We have this lovely riverfront downtown where Deb and I live, and you can just sit on the riverfront and just watch all the tourists go by. And I love to just notice things about people, the way an elderly couple holds hands, or the way a little child will lick an ice cream cone. Like, it's just, you know, just those little treasures. I think it's important to be aware of those.
Yes.
Because all of us walk new roads every day.
Mm-hmm. Awareness is indeed a part of the key of that pilgrimage towards being our own legend.
Yes. Now, in The Alchemist, Santiago meets a lot of people who have given up their quest for their personal legend, like the baker and the crystal merchant. And it's tempting because they have these nice lives, you know, they make good money, they have these good professions, and they have failed to continue seeking out their personal legend. You know, Santiago's on his way to the pyramids, and he meets these people like halfway there. They were on their way to the pyramids, too.
And they stopped and settled.
Yeah. they stopped and settled. And I think that in different areas of our own lives, we can look at places where we stopped and settled. You know, like, there are some areas of my life where I feel I have seeked out my personal legend, and there are some areas of my life where I feel I've stopped and settled.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what's important, you know, Santiago is young in this book, but even those of us who are not super young anymore can still continue to seek out our personal legend.
Oh, you know, when you stop growing and you stop learning, you stop living.
Yeah, yeah. You know, people, once they settle, they are afraid of losing everything. When Santiago meets the camel driver, he says to Santiago that people are always afraid of losing what they have, whether it's their life, their possessions, or property. But this fear evaporates when they understand that their life stories and the history of the world were written by the same hand. Don't give in to your fears, Santiago, says the alchemist. If you do, you won't be able to follow your heart. There is only one thing that makes a dream impossible to achieve, the fear of failure.
That's right. And so when we can just rid, and boy, that's hard. It's hard to rid yourself of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to rid yourself of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But on those moments when we are not fearful, when we do not doubt, then we really do reach a different level of being.
Yes.
Samantha, we're at the halfway mark. Let's stop and tell folks a little bit about who we are and what we're doing here. So my name is Deb Bowen, and you are?
Samantha Fay.
You are. And we are the Psychic Teachers. We have another podcast that you can find under the spirituality section of iTunes and Blog Talk called Psychic Teachers, and it airs live every Sunday night. Samantha and I are also practicing psychics, and we offer spiritual coaching services and have a variety of services and products that we offer. And you can connect with us on our websites at SamanthaFay.com and DebBowen.com. And we'd love for you to take a look at us and see if any of our work resonates for you. We would really appreciate you doing that.
And reach out to us if you have books you want us to discuss. We have a couple of books we've got in mind for the next couple of months, but after that, we're open to suggestions.
Right. We will talk next week. We will do a two-part series beginning next week and following the following week of The Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman.
Yes.
Will you put that in the chat room while I'm talking here?
Sure.
Okay. And also, this program has been registered with iTunes, and we're hoping that it will be up and available for download under the self-help category. Is that right, Samantha?
Yes.
In the next week or so. So if you are interested in putting it on your iPod, it'll be available to you real shortly, we hope. We'll let you know when it is.
Good.
Okay.
One thing I want to say about fear, as we're talking about the fact that you and I work as intuitives for our day job, I connect with people's spirit guides, and sometimes they have specific messages, you know, for their person. And a couple of weeks ago, I did a reading, and the spirit guide, her message for my client was, our job on Earth is not to conquer fear. Our job is to face our fear. And I thought that distinction was so important,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we believe that we're here because we have to, you know, tackle this, accomplish that, achieve, you know. And maybe it's just, you know, just facing that fear is all that's being asked of us instead of ignoring it, turning away from it, pretending it doesn't exist, and just settling for what we have rather than what we can be. Because fear, you know, they say the acronym for fear is forgetting everything's all right.
Oh, that's cute.
And it really is going to be all right. If you think about some of the big leaps of faith you've made in your life, everything does work out okay. You know, Deb and I started out as very normal, traditional college teachers. And we loved our jobs. Our jobs were very safe. We were good at our jobs. I think both of us love teaching more than anyone I know.
We do.
And yet we, part of our personal legend was following this desire to reach out to people and do readings. And it was really hard. Deb was a closeted pagan for years. Can I say that?
You sure can, because I'm out of that closet now.
You're out of that closet now. I'm not a very good practicing Catholic because I
yes,
go to church, but I really believe in gay rights and I really believe in pro-choice, and you know, so I'm not the best. I'm all about birth control. But anyway, so we both, when we came out of our psychic closet, we really had the threat of losing a lot of things. Respect,
yeah.
Our job, our comfort of our money, our career,
family,
friends,
family.
Yeah. And yet we face that fear. I haven't conquered my fear. You know, I really haven't. I mean, my priest said to me the other day, "What is it again that you do, Samantha?"
Oh dear!
I was like, "Father Pat, I teach and I coach and yeah, that was a really good homily." I just like totally changed the subject.
Wimp.
I know.
But, you know, we all do that. We all backpedal. It's not just, I mean, you know, that's a very human reaction that we face when we're challenged, and even when we're very strong in our beliefs. I mean, you and I certainly believe in the work that we do. Our clients trust and believe in us.
Mm-hmm.
And we never, never take that responsibility lightly. We always honor that, and yet when mainstream, when that hierophant shows up, we have a tendency to say, "Oh well, yeah, they'll sort of, you know,
mm-hmm.
we just do." And when we do that, we're not honoring our personal legend.
No,
you know, and we know it.
And you do know it. You always know it when you're not following your personal legend. And I think that when you don't follow your personal legend, that's when things really start to go wrong in life. You know, little things, like you start to hate your job or you get a new boss who's super negative or... And I think that's the universe's way of saying, you're not where you're supposed to be.
That's right. I mean, it's the universe. Sometimes those shifts that we have in the way we feel about something or our job or someone or whatever, those shifts often are the universe nudging us to take a pilgrimage in a different direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Santiago says to the crystal merchant, who he works for quite some time, because he's trying to save up money to, you know, get to the pyramids, and he says to the crystal merchant, "Don't forget the language of omens." And the crystal merchant says to Santiago, "Why ask more out of life?" And Santiago replies, "Because we have to respond to the omens."
Yeah.
And I think that's so important, because I think a lot of us are sitting there going, "Well, who am I to ask for more out of life?" You know,
right?
Really, who am I? Well, you are a child of this universe, and you have every divine right to ask for more out of your life. And the universe is trying to help you, but you've got to follow the omens.
Yes, you do. You do. And to go placidly along the path, trusting, and this is probably even harder than letting go of fear, trusting that the universe will take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we said to clients, you know, the universe didn't bring you this far to dump you on your head now?
Yeah.
And it's just not gonna.
Mm-mm.
It's just not. And you know, that brings me to wanting to talk about the title of the book.
Yes.
Because I have a feeling that most folks have a vague idea of, and some folks may know a whole lot more about this than you or I, about the term to be an alchemist. But the term has to do with turning base metals into gold. And there are lots of famous alchemists who have tried to do that over the years, and we'll talk about a few of them in a few minutes. But it's more than that. To be an alchemist has become symbolic of turning anything in our lives into something better. I think that's a fairly simplistic way of saying it, but that's of turning anything that we have been on who we are into what we were meant to be.
That's right. It's the process of transformation.
Yes.
You can think of the alchemist like the butterfly, because really what the alchemist's, their goal is to transform something that was into something that is now new.
Right.
Completely different. And I think we are all, we need to remember that we are the alchemist of our own life.
Yes, which I think is the point of the title,
yes,
in my opinion.
Me too.
Yeah. And so it isn't just about material wealth, as because so many of the alchemists of old searched for gold. They searched for what was called the elixir of life, for eternal life, Nicholas Flamel, for example. And even he, in the at least in the Harry Potter legend, Nicholas Flamel was a very real person who really was an alchemist. But his character in the Harry Potter books, he gives up his need to have the elixir of life and to live forever for the higher good of humankind.
And well, and then there's the Count Saint Germain. I mean, there are actual documented papers that he did find the elixir of life and was immortal. I mean, there's court documents of him at different courts throughout different centuries.
Yes.
So who knows? That's always interested me.
Me too. I've read a lot of the teachings of Saint Germain, and he was a fascinating character.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if he was lying, he was good at it.
he still had some good lessons to teach.
Yeah. John Dee, Queen Elizabeth I's court astrologer, was a very known alchemist. So was Galileo, Copernicus, and, of course, our favorite Merlin.
Of course.
So, yeah, so an alchemist, you know, is the idea of turning base metal into gold. But I think what it's really saying is that what is inside of us is gold.
That we already have the gold.
Well, that's right. It's already there. It's inside of us. And we have to figure out a way to turn ourselves inside out. You know, we have to lay ourselves bare and raw and be open to conquering our personal legend and to facing our fear. So that we can reveal the gold, the true treasure that is within us.
And we all, and I think believing that treasure is there is the key of a place to start. We may not even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We may not have a clue how to get there, but at least believing it exists, that within us is this miraculous kernel of who we were meant to be. And to at least acknowledge that it's there and to ask for help, and the universe will conspire to help us get there.
And sometimes the universe conspires to help us get there in what at first looks like a negative way, like losing our job.
Right.
Like I said before, getting a mean boss, going through a divorce. But it's just that way of shaking you back on your path.
There is a wonderful quote by Alan Alda, and I meant to look it up before we started this show, because it's about you have to leave the comfort of your home and your security and go in search of who you are, and what you will find will be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I've butchered that quote, mm-hmm. but it's
no, but
close.
The intention is there. It's a good one. Well, mm-hmm. I love the old adage, you know, if you want your ship to come in, build a dock. You know, because a lot of us think, well, why hasn't this happened to me? And you've got to remember that, you know, you've got to take that step, that action to accomplish your own personal legend. The last thing I want to say is Santiago says that he and his heart had become friends, and now neither was capable of betraying each other. And what I think that means is that part of discovering your personal legend is really getting to understand who you are. And once you love yourself and understand yourself, you can accomplish anything.
Yes, exactly. And the key is to start. And that, remember, that was hard for Santiago, but
yes.
He did it.
Yes.
He at least started, you know?
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. You've got to just begin. And I think that begins with asking, what do I want?
What do I want?
Yeah.
There you go. We're out of time, Samantha. Thank you all so very, very much for being with us. Next week, we will be back talking about The Way of the Peaceful Warrior by Dan Millman. In the meantime, please connect with us on our website, SamanthaFay.com, DebBowen.com, and shoot us an email at psychicteachersbookclub@gmail.com if you're interested in talking to us. So we thank you so much for being with us, and be the light.
Be the light. Good night. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.